Isaiah chapter 53 is one main reason we say what we're getting ready to say. But according to the scriptures, healing's the will of God for every one of His children. Not just some people. Not just He heals some and you never can tell what God's going to do. And there's many reasons that we say that from the scriptures. Many reasons that it's the will of God for all of us to be well. One of the main reasons is because the Bible declares that healing is in the plan of redemption. Jesus did not just redeem us from sin, He redeemed us from sickness and disease. The same language here in Isaiah 53 that talks about Him carrying and bearing our iniquities. If you look in verse 11, for example, He shall see the travail, He, God, shall see the travail of His soul, with Jesus' soul, and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant, that's Jesus, justify many, for He shall bear their, notice, their iniquities. Notice verse number 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors, he bare the sin of many. Say, he bore the sin of many. And he made intercession for the transgression. In both verse 11 and verse 12, he uses that word bear when it comes to our sin. That's Jesus. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to take our sin and bear our sin. He did that as our substitute, didn't he? But the same language and the same words are used in verses 4 and 5 of this chapter, because he said in verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs. King James says griefs, and carried our sorrows. The Hebrew actually says sicknesses and pains. The Hebrew is not griefs and sorrows. It's sicknesses and pains. And you can find this same Hebrew word here translated griefs and sorrows in other places in the Old Testament translated sicknesses and diseases. So he bore our griefs or our sicknesses and carried our diseases or our pains, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's the sin part. The chastisement of our peace, or as one translation says, that was needful to obtain our peace, was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Peter picks that up in 1 Peter 2:24 and says, by his stripes we were healed. Looking back at the cross, he said, here we are. But Peter goes to past tense and says, we were. We were back on the cross. We were back when Jesus took those stripes. In other words, what he's saying is, when those stripes were laid on his back, they broke his back, they broke it open, they made it bleed, they wounded it, and the Bible says those wounds were for our healing. In other words, he bore, when those stripes were laid on him, that was God laying on him our sicknesses and disease. It broke his body. And our body, that happened so our body could be healed. He took on himself not only our sin, but he took on him our sicknesses. That is well established, and I'm not going to take the time in the service today to go through all the scriptures that prove that over and over again. But you can just remember, for example, the Bible said Jesus was ministering to a lady that was not a Jew, didn't have a covenant with God, and he said, the disciples said, send her away, she's bothering us. And Jesus said, no, he said, let her come. But first of all, he said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. But she persisted in faith, and even though she wasn't a child, she got the children's bread. What is the children's bread? Healing. In other words, as a child of God, you have a right to healing. Because bread is not something that represents a treat or a dessert. He didn't say healing is the children's dessert that they get if they're good enough. No, he said healing is the children's bread. Bread is an everyday staple. It's just an everyday thing. It's just something that's a part of our life day in and day out. And that's what he said. The children of God have a covenant where day in and day out they're healed and live in the divine health of God. That's our covenant right. Oh, thank God for it. And then Jesus, in another situation, he was ministering. The woman bowed over with the spirit of infirmity, you might remember. And the Pharisees were saying, no, not today. Today's the wrong day because it was the Sabbath day. And Jesus said she ought to be healed, being a daughter of Abraham. Being a daughter. In other words, the Jews had a covenant of healing. Remember in Exodus 15, it talks about it. I am Jehovah Rapha. The King James says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And then it says in the 23rd chapter of Exodus that I'll bless your bread and water and take sickness out of the midst of you, and the number of your days you will fulfill. In other words, rather than be cut short and live a short life, but he said, my covenant with you is that you live long and that you not have sickness and disease. He said, I'll take sickness from the midst of you. Hallelujah. And that's a blessing that was a part of the Jews. But if you read chapter number 3 of Galatians, the Jews had that blessing, but Jesus brought the Gentiles into it through faith in him. Galatians 3 said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, curses everyone that hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. We weren't born Jews, but we are Jews now by faith. In other words, we got the blessing. We got the Jewish blessing. Not through being a Jew, but through Jesus. Through faith in Jesus. Praise the Lord. And that blessing includes divine healing and divine health. And we could take a lot of time on that, but I just want to get into some other things this morning. God has many methods of ministering healing to his people. And the method determines the way the believer receives his healing from God. Let's think about a couple of methods. There's the laying on of hands. I mean, Jesus said that all believers can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Mark 16 and Matthew 28, it talks about believers laying hands on the sick and they'll recover. Any believer can do that. There's not necessarily, God can do anything he wants, but that doesn't mean they necessarily have a tangible healing anointing that God gave them to minister to the sick, but it's a point of contact. That hands laid on the sick, that's a point of contact. That's when we're going to release our faith, when hands are laid on. Now God can minister an anointing through any believer because they have it in them. But there's another method that God ministers healing. That's by the laying on of hands. And you see this in the Bible in a couple of places. Under a special healing anointing. And that touch transfers God's healing power. And that's, God can use any believer that he wants to, but there's certain ministries God gives that anointing, and they minister that way. Paul had that ministry. That's why he laid his hands on the cloths that were taken to the sick. Remember? And the power of God would go into the cloth, and it would then go into the person it was laid on. It's a means of transferring God's power. Amen. The healing anointing is very tangible. In other words, it's not just a doctrine or a figment of our imagination. It is a spiritual substance. People feel it sometimes. You don't have to feel it. It's not physical. But sometimes people do because it is tangible. And that's a ministry. God set some in the church with that. There is the anointing with oil in James chapter number 5. There is the prayer of faith according to James chapter number 5. Amen. And that he said, the prayer of faith shall heal the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. There's the prayer of agreement. If two of us agree on earth as touching anything they ask, it'll be done. That's also the prayer of faith, but it's the prayer of faith with somebody else, agreeing with somebody else. Then there is the command of faith. At times, Jesus would just, in Peter's mother-in-law's case, he rebuked the fever. Yeah. That's really the authority of the believer commanding the sickness to leave. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's not prayer, is it? But it brought healing. Then there is the gifts of healings, where you saw many of those in Dr. Richard Roberts' meetings. People healed left and right through the gifts of healings. And then there's just knowing what the Bible says is yours. Like take Isaiah 53 and you see he bore my sicknesses and by his stripes I'm healed. Knowing that, just knowing what is yours, what the word says, and believing it and going your way and believing it. Amen. And speaking it. Amen. Remember there was a case where Jesus had a man come to him and said, my daughter lieth at home at the point of death. You come and lay your hands on her and she'll be healed. And then there was another man who had a servant at a distance, you remember. And he said, I'm not worthy to come under my roof. He said, just speak the word and my servant will be healed. I think that I'm getting them confused there. One was a daughter and one was a servant. But in both cases, one case Jesus said, go your way, your son liveth. Jesus never laid hands on him. He never commanded the sickness to leave. He never anointed him with oil. Never prayed the prayer of faith. He just gave the word. You know there's healing in the word. Go your way, your son liveth. And the Bible said he went his way. And tomorrow when he got home, he saw that his son had recovered. And he said, when did this happen? And they all told him. They said, yesterday about the seventh hour. And he said, well, that's just when Jesus said, go your way, your son liveth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He sent, Psalm 107, he sent his word and healed them. Now, that's just believing, finding out what belongs to you because of the covenant, because of the substitutionary work of Christ, and receiving it by faith and saying, I claim my healing now. And you say, I got it, I'm healed now. That's how you got saved. You just said, Father, I receive you as Savior. Jesus, come into my heart. I'm now saved. You can do the same thing with healing. There needs to be a moment and a point where you not only receive Jesus as Savior, but you go ahead and receive Him as healer. Yes. 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 Healer of what? Remember it says in Psalm 103, all the blessings, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who heals every now and then. No, heals all our diseases. All of them. All of them. In the curse of the law, we read Galatians says we're redeemed from the curse of the law. In Deuteronomy 28, the curse of the law is mentioned. And the curse of the law there include every sickness. Remember it said it listed all these sicknesses, named many of them. In fact, it goes through 39 different categories of sicknesses. And scientists today said that's how many categories of sicknesses there are, 39 different categories. There's more diseases than that, but they fall into one or so category. But he said, he named them all, and then he said, and any sickness or any disease that's not listed in this book of the law, them the Lord will heal you from. In other words, any new ones the devil comes up with? He bore all our sicknesses and all our diseases. Woo, glory be to God. The Bible said Jesus went about doing good in Acts 10:38 and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So sickness is not a blessing from God. It is satanic oppression. Amen. We have to get a revelation of that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. So according to all the redemptive work of Jesus and the Bible that talks about what Jesus did for us, of course, the Old Testament saints were looking forward to Jesus coming. And they were getting it on credit by what was coming, by faith in what was coming. We look back to a finished work. Amen. We have something better. Remember, God has provided something better for us. And if you look at the context of Hebrews 11 where that's stated, something better is something better than promises. We don't have a promise of God healing us. We have the fact that we are healed by Jesus' stripes. We were healed. A promise is something God's going to do. A fact is something is already done. By His stripes we were healed. Not gonna get healed, we were healed. Praise God. Well, then, so with all of that, with the knowledge of all that in the Bible, then it shouldn't be normal that Christians be sick. We're redeemed. Amen. There shouldn't be any sickness among us. We should have different statistics in the church than in the world. Amen. James 5:14, God said, or James there through the Spirit said to the church that he was writing to, he said, is any sick among you? That was a question. He asked, is there any sick among you? In other words, he wasn't sure if there was. Well, you wouldn't write to any church today in America and ask that question. He'd say, the 75% of you that are on medications. I don't know what the statistics are here. I'm not interested in knowing. But my point is, in America now, they say 75% of the population is on medications. And I don't know what the statistics are in the church world, but as a whole, it's probably not much different than just the culture out there. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. It's a whole lot less here. Yeah. I know Pastor Debbie, I don't know how long ago it was, within the last year, we got a checkup or something. And they always make you fill out all these forms and everything, put all your medications down there and all that. And they were surprised. The doctor was surprised. You're not on any medications? You're 50-some years old? Not on something like that, 50-some. And not on any medications? The doctor was shocked. I was in, 3 years ago. For a checkup, and they were checking something out for me, and they said, no medications? I said, no. And this or that? No. Ain't got any pains here or there? No. They said, that's unusual. They said, you're just a healthy guy, aren't you? I said, yep, healthy guy. Praise God. Well, I don't say that to brag. We don't talk about that to brag. We're bragging on the word. We're bragging on God. Praise the Lord. Any sick among you? James wrote that. Then why are so many sick? If we're redeemed, if we have this covenant, I'll tell you why. Hosea 4:6 is the main reason in the body of Christ. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My people. He didn't say the world. He said my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What does that mean? They just don't know their rights and privileges. And there's a lot of help out there in the church world to help you be ignorant. The things that are said from the pulpit sometimes make me cringe. I mean, if God was your mama, he'd put a bar of soap in your mouth and say, wash that out, don't talk like that. Amen. Well, that's the main issue in the larger body of Christ, is that people just don't know. They've been taught God heals sometimes and sometimes he doesn't. Well, that doesn't sound like he bore our iniquities and took all our pains and all our diseases. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, and forgiveth all thy iniquities, heals all thy diseases. All means all. I heard a minister one time, he said, I did an extensive couple week long study on the word all. And I came to the conclusion, a great revelation, the word all means all. Amen. Yeah. That means every one of them. Every pain, every sickness, every discomfort. You ever thought much about the word disease? Dis-ease. We're redeemed from anything that physically is disease. Praise God. Anyway, so that's the main reason. Number two reason why Christians are sick is they, because this is once this issue is settled about, whether it's God's will or not, then we have to teach people how to receive it. After they know it's the will of God, how do we receive our healing? Amen. Well, the main issue here is the subject of faith. That's why we teach on faith so much. People get tired of it, but they sure don't get tired of living, getting the results out of it. Amen. All you got to do is get outside a little bit, talk to some other folk, and you realize this message has got to be preached more and more and more. Amen. But that's number two reason. We talk a lot about that. Let's go on. Number three reason. There are other factors involved in us walking in what belongs to us. Now listen to me very, very carefully. If you hear, you could take wrong what I'm getting ready to spend the rest of this service on. But so listen very carefully. Poke your neighbor and say, don't tune out now. You got to listen real carefully. Because you could walk out of here making me say something I didn't say. And I'd hate to have to say, no, they lied about it. But all sickness in the earth today, listen very carefully, Don't run out until I'm done making this statement and make a few comments about it. All sickness in the earth today is because of sin. Sin was what opened the door to sickness to get into the earth to begin with. In other words, it was not a part of God's original creation. Amen. It was never, nor is it now, been God's plan for His people. Listen to me very carefully. I did not say that every person who is sick has sin in their life causing that sickness. Now you might say, well, yeah, that's what you said. No, that's not what I said. I said that sickness, all sickness is in the earth today because of sin. I didn't say because of that person's sin who's sick. That could be so, but it's not. That's not automatically so. Amen. Y'all still with me? Amen. So I'm not talking about the individual sin whenever I say all sickness is in the earth today because of sin. I'm not talking about each individual sin. I'm talking about Adam's sin. Amen. Sickness is the foul offspring of its father Satan and its mother sin. Amen. Can you say amen? Now, sickness can be the result of an individual's personal sin, and that's why they're sick. But that's not automatically the case in every situation. But it's always the result of Adam's sin. Now, let me explain that. Some sickness is in the earth just because of the curse that came into the earth when man fell. This natural realm that's under the curse. This earth has a curse on it. I didn't say you do. I said this earth out there has a curse on it. And this natural realm is in a different state than it was when God originally created it. You understand what I'm talking about? And so your body is a part of this natural realm. And your body is not in the state that it was before Adam fell. Your body is in a mortal state now. It was not mortal. Adam's body was not mortal before he sinned. Adam would be alive today if he had never sinned or sin had never entered the earth. Sin opened the door to sickness and death. It was not a part of God's original creation. Nor will it be a part of heaven. Glory to God. The Bible said this mortal shall take on immortality. We'll be caught up. But see, what does the word mortal mean? The word mortal means subject to death. This body and this natural realm is not in the condition that God originally created it. But that doesn't mean that we have to live sick. Because God has made provision for us in this mortal state for the healing of our diseases. All our diseases. That's what Jesus came to do, bear our sin and our sicknesses. Of course, poverty as well and other things, but and oppression and bondage to demons, and you can go on and mental torment and so forth and so on. But Jesus came to redeem us not only from sin, but get this, all the consequences of sin. Except for one thing that we have not yet been redeemed from, and that is this body is still mortal. You understand? But there's a day coming where that's even going to be, where we're going to be restored back to an immortal body. Amen. That's yet to come. Praise God. I mean, for that reason alone, it's worth becoming a Christian. Because you can live in an immortal, glorious state forever and ever and ever. But we digress. In this period of time here, between God's original plan before Adam sinned and when God restores our bodies to a physical condition called immortality, in this earth walk, we're in a mortal body. Now, the Bible says God has appointed unto men once to die. In other words, we are not going to, somebody said, well, if we never get sick, how would we die? Because we will all die. If Jesus doesn't come back before, I'd like him to come back. I'd like to go in that rapture, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But if Jesus doesn't, I'll still get a glorious ride through the Milky Way with angels saying, you want to see the Milky Way? How you want to see Saturn? Well, we're on our way to heaven, but, you know. But in this state we're in right now, we're in this mortal condition, but God, and we will physically die. We're not yet redeemed from physical death. That's to come. But if you read very carefully in the book of, in fact, go over there. I wasn't going to take this much time on all this. I got so many things in my notes, but we'll just follow the Spirit. If you read carefully in the 8th chapter of Romans, it says very clearly in the 8th chapter of Romans that verse number 11, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. That word means make alive. Your, which one?
Mortal
bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Hallelujah. By his Spirit that dwells in you. Which one is the Spirit in us quickening? The mortal one, the one we're in right now. The life the anointing that raised Jesus' body from the dead is in us. And one of the ministries of that anointing is to keep this one alive until we finish our course. And then we'll all physically go on. You understand, we're not redeemed from physical death yet, but it keeps it alive to run our race and finish our course, because you can't do anything laid up in bed. I mean, we got a mission down here. God didn't send us down here to lay up in bed sick. And no, we got things to do, so we need to be healthy and strong. We got to take this gospel to all the world. I don't know how many times we're going overseas next year, but I got to stay healthy. We got to stay healthy. And so that God gave us health, the quickening of these mortal bodies. Now that's verse number, you see that verse right there is verse number 11. Go down to verse number, if we won't read it all, but verse number 18 down through verse number 22 talks about the whole creation groaning and travailing under this bondage of corruption. He's talking about when Adam sinned, all of creation came under a curse. But notice he says, all creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Now, that might look like our bodies aren't redeemed from sickness and disease yet, but that's not in line with the rest of the Scriptures. What he's talking about there is the quickening, he's talking about the body becoming immortal.
Yes, sir.
We don't have that yet.
Right.
We're waiting for that.
Yes, sir.
But what do we have? You notice what it said there? You didn't notice what it said there? If you'd have noticed, you'd have shouted. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. Now you look up the word first fruits, it means, we would say today, the down payment. The down payment of what? Well, there's coming a day when these bodies will be, the anointing of the Spirit of God in us will make these bodies immortal.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That day's coming.
Yeah.
That day's coming.
Yeah.
Whether it's been dead and in the grave, or whether Jesus comes and we go up in the rapture, there will be a loud buzzing sound. And this body will have all death, all sickness, all disease, and all mortality driven out of it. And it will never die. From then on, it will never die. It will become, listen to me carefully, it will become immortal. We have the down payment on that right now.
Amen.
What's the down payment? It's the first part of the full to come.
Amen.
if you buy a vehicle and you put a and you want to hold that vehicle, we bought many vans here for the daycare, and we put $1,000 down to hold it because the ones we buy are in great demand. They're little Toyota Siennas. They'll go just like that within an hour. They're gone. So we always put a credit card down real quick and hold it. Until we get there and get all the paperwork signed. Well, that's a guarantee of the rest to come.
Yes. 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 Amen.
That's a portion of what is coming. We got a portion.
Yes.
A portion of the immortality that is to come. The down payment of the same Spirit that raised Jesus' body from the dead and made it immortal. That same Spirit is in us. And God said, I'll give you the first portion of immortality now. What is that, Father? Sicknesses and diseases just won't stay in your body.
Amen.
The anointing breaks the yoke. Woo, my goodness. I preach myself happy. Amen. In other words, because these bodies are in this different condition than they were, when before Adam sinned, they took on this mortality, subject to disease, sickness, pains, and all those kinds of things. Because it's in this condition, and we don't have the new one yet, God said, I'm going to give you the quickening of the mortal one.
Amen.
Things might try to get on it, but the anointing will drive it back out.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I didn't plan on getting in on all that today, but it blesses me. Doesn't it bless you? How did this body become mortal? Through sin. That's what I said whenever I said, all sickness is in the earth today because of sin. I wasn't talking about the individual sin. That can be the case. I'm not saying whether or not it is or not. In a particular case you might come up against, it could be or could not be. We're not called to judge that person and say, you're sick because you sin. That's wrong. That's wrong. But all sickness is in the earth because of Adam's sin. In other words, you can see what I mean now. Our bodies are in a different condition because of that. Because of Adam's sin. Isn't that right? And so the earth itself, in this verse here in Romans in 18, chapter number 8, verses 18 down through 25 or 6 or so there, talks about this. This earth is not in the condition that it the original state that it was in. And neither is our body. But thank God for the quickening of the mortal. I just can't hardly get off of that. I'm just thrilled about that. Thank God for the quickening of the mortal. So, if sickness is in a Christian's body, only because this earth and their body is in a fallen condition or fallen state, which our bodies all are, if that's the only reason, faith will free you from all of that. 1 John 5:4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world and the curse in it. We're redeemed from the curse. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. If it's only because of the fallen condition of our bodies and the stuff that goes around and, you know, in other words, there's no other reason, no reason between them and God, their conscience is bothering about something God's dealt with them about, they disobeyed or anything like that. If there's no other reason, faith will fix it.
Amen.
Faith will fix it. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Faith will free you from that. We know that not every person who's sick is sick because of their sin, because of verses such as James 5:14. Now you can go there real quickly. It says in James 5:14 that this is the great healing chapter. It's one of the big healing scriptures in the New Testament. But it says, is any sick among you? We referred to this earlier. Let him call for the elders of the church. Now why? And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save. That's the same Greek word translated healed all through the New Testament. In fact, the Greek word translated saved and healed is the same Greek word. Somebody said, I got saved. Well, did you know that meant you got healed? Most Christians haven't heard that. Or if they've heard it, it hasn't dawned on them. So the prayer of faith shall save, that means heal. The context is physical healing, so we have translated healing. The prayer of faith shall heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Now look at this. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Notice the word if. That's a big word in that passage of Scripture. Here's a man who is sick, man or woman, whatever, who is sick. Isn't that right? That it says, if he has sinned, it'll be forgiven him. If implies that he may not have. But he's still sick. So what does that prove? Not all sickness is because of that individual's sin. Sometimes things just try to get on you because we're in the fallen state that's down here. And you don't have to go digging for some reason other than that. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation. Amen. Bible said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. All of them. All of them. All of them. Not just now and then, all of them. Last Sunday we were talking about always being victorious. That includes over every sickness and every disease. Every pain, every infirmity, anything wearing out, anything broken, anything not working right, anything not beating right, anything not moving right, anything not... Amen. From the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, we're redeemed from sickness and disease. Amen. It stands to reason that if Jesus dealt with the real root of it by bearing our sin, then he also dealt with all the consequences of sin. Stands the reason that it goes along with the package deal. If you read through the Bible, it's very clear. Many, many times the Bible talks about the double cure. We already quoted one, Psalm 103. He bore all our iniquities and healed all our diseases. You see that sickness, forgiveness of sins and healing from sickness together over and over in the New Testament and the Old Testament. It goes along together. You got them both at the same time. Now, many Christians don't know about it. But we're here to help them hear about it. Because it's such good news. Too good to keep to ourselves. Amen. Another verse, John 9, 1 through 41. The Pharisees came to Jesus, and there was a man there that was born blind. John 9, 1 through 41 there. It's a long chapter. We won't read it all. But they came and said, Jesus... Actually, I guess it was the disciples, because the Pharisees had asked the disciples. But the disciples came and said, Jesus, who hath sinned? This man, the man blind, or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered it once and for all. He said, neither. Neither hath this man sinned or his parents. Now, that proves that not everybody who is sick because of sin in their life. Personal sin where they personally violated the will of God, you know. Because Jesus said, here's a man that's sick, but he's not sick because of his sin. Or his parents' sin. Now, think about that. Jesus said neither. That can't be that Jesus said his parents have never sinned. Nor has he ever sinned. Can't be, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means this man and his parents, they had sinned. Well, why did Jesus say neither of them had sinned? He's not talking about whether they had sinned or not. He's talking about whether that sin was the reason for the sickness or not. That was their question. And Jesus said, no, this sickness is not because of somebody's sin. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't situations that people are sick because of sin, because of their personal sin. That doesn't mean that. We're way out of time already, but we had time, we could get into that. However, we just have to realize that if that's not always the case. I remember Brother Hagin saying he was born deformed. His heart, actually his whole chest cavity was born, he was born deformed. And his heart didn't beat right. He had an incurable blood disease. They'd draw blood and it would look white. It wasn't even red. Kind of pinkish, you know, orangish white. And just tremendous problems in his physical body. And he said later in life, Jesus spoke to him and said, you were born this way because of the sins of your father. Well, see, it wasn't his sin. So he could just use his faith and get out of it. I've seen situations like that because of a parent's sin. Children are sickly all the time. Now, somebody said, is that always the case? No. Not always the case. Jesus said so. I said right here in John 9, Jesus said so. Not always the case. But you just got to take each case individually. Are you understanding what I'm talking about? No, sinners who got saved and are now a Christian and walking in all the light they have do not need to pay for the sins of their past with sickness and disease. Their sickness is not a penalty for their past sins. But if a Christian persists in disobedience to the Word after they've received the light on the Word, and they don't want to walk in the light, well, the Bible says, him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it's sin. And that can eventually open the door to the devil. You understand? That I'm not saying that's not the case. But I'm just saying that's not always the case. This is what the Bible's talking about when it says to us as believers that we're to judge ourselves so we're not judged. What does that mean? It means to correct ourselves when the light of the Word comes. If we don't, eventually we can open the door to sickness and disease. Not God putting it on us. We're just on the devil's territory and he has a right to attack us there. Amen. We've got to keep these things clear in our mind. But I wouldn't be so concerned about the light you don't have yet as the light you do have. It's a full-time job for me just to walk in the light I already have. Amen. Now, on the other hand, you need to sometimes think a little bit deeper about some of these things. Think about this. I can tell you right now, and I will, I'll tell you three cases in Jesus' earthly ministry where he ministered healing to somebody who had sin in their life. And on top of that, Jesus knew it. Really, Pastor? Yep. Think about the guy who came with the band of soldiers to arrest Jesus and crucify him. Think about the guy that Peter picked up his sword and chopped his ear off. Malchus. The Bible says his name was Malchus. Jesus told Peter, put up your sword. It's not time to fight. Took the ear and put it back on and healed his ear. Who is this guy? He's sinning against Jesus by coming to arrest him and crucify him. There's one case. Oh, I got a license to sin in church today, Pastor. Well, if you have that heart, you're not waiting on a license. You're just doing it already. That's not what we're talking about. We're trying to get people free from some of these things that the devil trips them up with. Second of all, the man at the pool of Bethesda in John 5:14, remember Jesus ministered healing to that man. Jesus walked away and the man didn't even know who he was. And the Bible said eventually the Pharisees found him carrying his bed because remember Jesus said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. He had been a cripple, never had walked. And so here he is walking. It was Sabbath day. The Pharisees got all upset about carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. You're not supposed to carry your bed on the Sabbath day. And the man said, well, the man that healed me, he said, take up your bed and walk. And they said, well, who was that? And he said, I don't know. He walked away and I don't know who he was. Never met him before. Well, it was Jesus. But later, Jesus met the man and started talking with him again and basically introduced himself to him. And the Bible said that Jesus said to him, sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. Did he say, don't sin in the future? No, he said, don't sin anymore. It means there was some in the past and don't keep doing that more. Here's a man Jesus healed, had sin in his life, and Jesus knew it. Because he said, I have revelation that you've been sinning. Don't keep doing that anymore. Am I making that up? That's what the Bible said. Jesus knew he had sin in his life and healed him anyway. Not every sickness is because of a man's sin. I don't know if this is helping you like it's helping me or not. Remember the paralytic let down through the roof in Luke 5, verse number 20? First thing Jesus said to him is, thy sins be forgiven thee. Got sin in his life. Well, who doesn't? Except those of us that get it under the blood. Hallelujah. So, when it comes to ministering to other people, you have to be careful in this area. Jesus didn't spend much time or much of any time, really, it doesn't seem to me, addressing the sin issue before he ministered healing to the people. Well, I mean, you read through it and you look. He told them afterwards sometimes. Remember, that woman caught in the sin of adultery? He forgave her and then he said, go and sin no more.
Yep. That's right.
But he didn't say, now you have to promise me you'll never do that again before I forgive you. No. He didn't address some of those issues beforehand. Now, I know some of you looking at me real strange, but I think we need to think a little deeper about some of these things. When it comes to ministering to other people, ministers can create a sense of sin consciousness by always treating Christians as if the reason you're sick is because of your sin. Well, that could be the case. We understand that. And we're going to get into that. I was going to get into it today, and I was going to blow it out of the water, but I ran out of time. But that can be the case. But see, for us to just assume that and judge somebody before we minister to them is wrong. That's going to have to be between them and God. We just teach and preach the word and say that this can be the case. Watch out for these things. But I've had God use me to minister healing to people that I never would have healed. If I was God, I'd have said, nope, back off right here. Amazing situations. Amen. You wouldn't have counted them as a candidate. You know, sometimes it's just the goodness of God leading them to repentance. He just wants them to know he loves them. And they break down and say, I've been living wrong, forgive me. And they come into the things of God because God's goodness was demonstrated to them. Now, that's not a license for us just to go out and just live immoral or anything like that. We walk in the light we have, keep things under the blood. Because there's another side to this, we'll get into it. But when it comes to ministering to people, we shouldn't just create a sense of sin consciousness all the time. Amen. Amen. If it's so in a person's life, that person knows it. Amen. But he might not always deal with the minister about it. Unless he chooses to. God can do that. I remember one time Brother Hagin was ministering in a healing line. He got to a lady and he laid his hands on her and never intended to say this, but out of his mouth came these words. This is quoting Psalm 107. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Then he heard these words coming out of his mouth. He almost looked around to see who said it. He said, bow down and confess you're that fool and you'll be healed. Whoa, whoa. Well, he didn't know what that was all about, and he talked to the pastor later. And this girl, young lady, had a lot of trouble in her female organs. That's what she's in the line for, a lot of trouble in her female organs. But the reason is because she had been running with the gangs and just living immoral for a couple of years. Well, in other words, don't just come in here expecting, you know. In other words, you got to say, no, I'm not going to live that way anymore. Somebody said, well, aren't there other people that were healed before they got things right? Yeah. Well, why did God move that way in that case? I don't know. I'm not the head of the church. Are you the head of the church?
Nope.
I'm not running this thing. Tell your neighbor, you're not either. Thank God. I'm glad you're not running this thing. Amen. But if God doesn't say something, just go on and minister to them. Let it between them and God. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Well, why did God move that way that time? Well, first of all, the secret thing belongs to the Lord. I don't know. Second of all, I'm not the judge. Third of all, I don't know how much light they have, and therefore God's requiring out of them. Fourth of all, I don't know if God's dealt with them about it yet. Also, I don't know if they're still in that space to repent that the Bible talks about in Revelation 2:21. There's a lot of things we're not the judge we don't know about.
That's right.
Like I said, I've seen God heal people I never would have healed. I've seen people. I remember a lady came here one time. This is years ago, so I don't think anybody will really remember it. Came here one time diagnosed with terminal cancer. She wasn't here in two or three services, and the power of God hit her, laid hands on her, power of God hit her. She went back to the doctor, totally healed of terminal cancer. Totally healed. And yet I thought to myself, God, I would not have healed her. She was a critic. She was very easily offended. And she'd talk about it. Amen. I mean, she's kind of one of those people that got two sides to her. A sweet side and then a nasty side. She could put on a real sweet front, you know. And she was also one of those people a little like an owl. The more light you shine on them, the less they see. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Wasn't a tither. Fussed about tithing. God completely healed her of terminal cancer right back here sitting in this section. Completely healed her. I thought to myself, oh God, the mercy of God. And then she left all offended. Found out later, I asked somebody, how's she doing? Just fine, just fine. Somebody said, why'd God go to doing that? I don't know. I'm not the head of the church. And I'm not the one deciding whether he does or not. Thank God. Tell your neighbor, thank God. And yet, I've had people. I remember a man in Indiana. I'm ministering at a church, and as I'm ministering, I started seeing this cloud, this dark cloud over his. He's standing in a dark cloud all the way to the ceiling. And the more I minister, I'm more getting in more into the spirit, and the more I see that, I keep thinking, what is that? At first, I thought it was something natural, like he was in the shadow of a pole or something. I kept looking to see. But it kept getting thicker and thicker. And I said, no, I'm seeing into the spirit realm here. Mm-hmm. So I said, Lord, what are you showing this to me for? See, that's what we need to learn to do. Not only know what is happening, but know what to do about what's happening. What do you want me to do? And I'm preaching. I've learned to do this. I can preach and hold a conversation with the Lord and decide at the same time. And I said, Lord, what is that? And he said, that man's getting ready. That's death. That man's getting ready to die. He's not going to live much longer. I said, all right, Lord, are you wanting me to minister? What do you want me to do? I said, do you want me to minister to him? And I'm still preaching. Nobody knows this is going on the inside. And the Lord said, yeah, I want you to minister to him, but I want you to do it the way I say. I said, fine, all right, Lord, whatever you say. He said, tell the man that if he wants to be healed, he's going to have to be a tither. I said, whoa, no, wait a minute now. You're going too far, Lord. You tell him. You want him to know, you tell him. I'm a guest here. I'm invited. I'm not the pastor. I don't know this man. I don't know if he's tithing. I mean, your head starts kicking in. What if I miss it? You know, and all this stuff. But it just kept, the Lord just kept dealing with you. So I said, all right. And at the end of the service, I turned my mic off and I called this man up and I called the pastor to come up also. Had him play some music. And the pastor's there and he's a witness to this. And I said, I turned the mic off. Nobody could hear me. I said, sir, the Lord shows me that you're not going to live much longer. I didn't know if he knew that or not. I just said, the Lord shows me that. And he said, yeah. Yeah. He said, I have a heart condition. The doctor said I could die any minute. It's just one of those things that his heart could just stop any minute. Yeah. I don't think it was working like at 20%, something like that. I said, and now I'm starting to get bold, like, whew, I heard it. I'm hearing something from God. And I said, the Lord wants to heal you today. He said, praise the Lord. I said, but the Lord told me to minister to you. He said, I received that. I said, the Lord told me how to minister to you. And I brought the pastor up here to witness this because I don't know you. And I said, but the Lord told me if you want to be healed, you're going to have to become a tither. I said to the pastor, I said, do you know this man? He said, yeah, he's a part of the church here. I said, pastor, I said it to him first. I said, sir, are you a tither? He said, no. I said, pastor, you know him. Has he been tithing? He said, no. Well, now I'm realizing that, I mean, you got to step out by faith in some of these things. Your head can mess with you. And I said, well, the Lord shows me in order for me to be able to minister this healing anointing, I got a healing anointing. God gave it to me. But in order for this to work, you'll have to be a tither. I said, I didn't make that up in my mind. I said, God's saying this to you. I said, will you consecrate before God and the pastor right here from this day forward to be a tither? I said, God will heal you on credit if you commit to it. He said, yes, I'll be a tither. I laid my hands on him and he was completely healed. He went back to the doctor, completely healed, and was healed for a while. I came back there about, 2 years later, I believe, and I asked about that man. And the pastor said, well, he died. No, he didn't die. He's in the hospital dying again. And this was a totally, this wasn't the heart. The heart was healed. This is a totally different kind of disease. Totally different area of his body. I said, well, what happened? He said, he started tithing and then he backed off. And got into disobedience again. I said, well, what's going on? He said, got a totally different condition. And he said that his sons, I guess, or I don't know if it was daughters or whatever, went up to the hospital and said, Dad, you remember what that minister said by the Spirit to you, that if you're going to be healed and stay healthy, you're going to have to be a tither. And he said, you're right, you're right. And he said to his sons, take my, because he had a business. And he's actually, the wife said he was losing all his business. His business was going down the tubes. And take my, the business tithe and my personal tithe and take it down there to the church. They took it down to the church and he's completely healed again. Somebody said, why on earth did God say if he's going to be healed, he's going to have to be a tither? Whenever I've seen people in this line, I know they're not tithers. And they get healed. Why on earth? I'm not the head of the church, are you? I don't know why it's getting pretty sober in here, but it's. I've seen one issue not affect their physical body and their healing. And another issue, another time, somebody with that same issue going on, it keeps them from receiving their healing. Remember the woman I said healed of cancer? Most of the people that I know personally who have died of cancer, I know them personally, most of them had unforgiveness in their hearts. That's something I'd check up on if I was in that condition. I'm not accusing anybody of that. I'm just saying that's just a pattern I've noticed. Now, to make that a law for everybody, that'd be wrong, wouldn't it? But I'm saying I've seen many, many people like that. But yet I've seen people in another condition. I mean, that it didn't affect them, in other words, is what I'm saying. Somebody said, why is all that? I don't know. I'm not the head of the church. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The healing ministry can come through different ways. The healing ministry can come through the revelation gifts in the prophet's office. That's what was happening there in Indiana. Those are revelation gifts. Amen. That's one of the operations of the ministry of healing, but it's not the only way God ministers to his people. I've found here pastoring that it's very difficult to operate in that segment of our ministry here because I know too much in the natural. I get out on the road, boom, 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 things start happening because I don't know it in the natural. Amen. Well, just, I don't know, giving a little understanding maybe this morning. What's the difference? What's the difference? Why in one case somebody that because he's not a tither, in that case, we're not a tither, that causes him to be dying prematurely. What's the difference? Well, I will say this. Some people have more light than other people. And some people, God's been giving them space to repent, and they haven't reached the end of that space yet.
Come on.
It might look like, you know, the Bible says God will bring every sin into judgment. It might look like, well, he sure isn't bringing that one into judgment. But see, it depends on what he knows and what he knows they know and what he knows they don't know and what he knows about giving them the space to repent. I'm so glad no man is running this. Aren't you? When it comes to ministering, we're just going to have to be led of the Spirit. I said, we're just going to have to be led of the Spirit. Why did Elisha minister the way he did to Naaman in 1 Kings chapter number 5? Remember, Naaman was healed. How's he going to be healed? Not through laying on of hands or prayer, but through, he said, go down to the river and dip in the river, what did he say, seven times? And you'll be healed. Why did he minister that way? Well, that's just the way the Holy Ghost moved. I don't know why. What's a muddy river got to do with it? I don't know. Do you know everything? We'll stop worshiping Jesus and start worshiping you if you know everything. Some of you almost cringed at the thought, but why did Jesus minister the way he did to the 10 lepers? Go show yourself to the priest. Why didn't he lay hands on them? Why didn't he do that? I don't know. Why did Jesus minister the way he did to the blind man there in John chapter number 9? Take up your bed and walk. Why didn't he lay hands on him? I don't know. I'll tell you why. It's just because the Spirit of God led them different in every different case. But why different? I don't know. Do you know everything? No, you don't. The Spirit of God told them to minister that way. And so you can't go beyond what the anointing is manifesting through you to do. And you can't make the way God moved in one case a hard and fast rule for another case. What worked for one person may not work for another person. Amen. Amen. Now, we got to close on that. But there is another side to all this about sin can be the issue. But I wanted to establish the fact that we shouldn't be just making that first and foremost the reason all the time. There's a couple of other reasons. Like, number one, people just don't know their rights and privileges. Or number two, they don't know how to walk in it by faith. What God provided by His grace, we've got to possess it by our faith. And we've got to learn to do that. And sometimes it's just a lack of understanding of how to do that. But it has nothing to do with sin. Amen. Are you glad you came this morning? Things have to be worked out between them and God. Amen. Rather than us judging them. Oh, I know why it's not working for you. Oh, do you? Yeah, I got the gift of discernment. I can see sin and wrong in your life. Well, I notice sinners have that gift. They can point out the faults in others real easily. So what I'm saying is that's not always the Holy Ghost. Sometimes it's just people's criticism. I don't ever address these issues unless God brings it up. God brings it up, fine. But that's His business, not my business. He's not asking me. He's the righteous judge of all the earth, not me. Can you say amen? Well, I've prayed and I don't know anything. Good. Keep right on going. Believe in God then. Don't let the devil pound on your head about it. You know if there's anything, you know it. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Now, let me say this, because this would be a good time to say it before we wrap it up. You remember there in John 5, the Bible said, let me just refer to it here. This would be, I think if we say it now, it'll hit you better and make more sense. I know we're going a little long, but see, you're okay with that now, right? John 5, verse number 14, Jesus said, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." Here's something that I think we can see from this verse. It seems like in these cases where there was sin there, or maybe still is sin there, yet they're healed. You understand? Seems like in some of these cases, when these people are healed with sin in their life, you can only make that work once for them. Jesus said, stay out of sin now, because that'll come back. In other words, I won't be able to get that for you to work, get that to work for you again. Huh? Seems like, and I've seen this in Christians' lives here, and people that I've ministered to over the years, you can only get that to work maybe once, maybe twice. Now somebody said, well, why would that only work once or twice? Well, now they know more and God expects a response from them. Amen. Amen. But see, here they are healed the first time just because of His mercy. Somebody said, well, why would God do that? Well, remember the Bible said in Psalm 107, verse number 20, He said, fools, because of their sins and iniquities, are afflicted. Well, Jesus died for sins and He died for fools. Amen. And He died for their healing. Isn't that right? And really, I'll tell you this, it's not that God said, well, I'm not going to heal you the second time. It's that now they know a little bit more and their own conscience doesn't have the confidence to receive. You understand? A lot of times that's the case. It's just their own conscience bothering them. Well, we can stop there. Tell your neighbor, I got some help this morning. Praise God. I will say in Psalm 107 there, it says in verse number 20, fools, because of their sins, because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Then he said it there, it's in that same passage, He sent His word and healed them. Yes. Who's them? Fools. In other words, they're just keeping the door open to the devil because of sin. But he sent his word. Now, no, here's what I want you to see. Notice the method of their healing. Notice their cure. It's not someone's prayers. It's the word. What does that mean? Hearing the word and making the adjustments, correcting themselves. God sent his word, and there's their healing. Their healing is in hearing the word and adjusting themselves. Amen. I'm talking about continuous, ongoing, keep it for the rest of your life kind of thing. Amen. We've had a wonderful healing meeting here with Dr. Richard Roberts. And he ministered healing through the way God uses him. And I so thank God for that. Me and a friend the other day were talking about, he's up in another church, friend of mine right now, and we were talking about how we so thank God. We need the evangelist office in the body of Christ functioning like it should. But just understand, that's only part of the healing ministry. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
It's a part that we've kind of, we need to bring in again. We've kind of lost some of that. But we thank God for all the different ways God ministers healing. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to not just get healed and then, you know, need another man to pray for me next time I need healing. I want to walk in some things to where I'm living in divine health. So let's learn some more about it. What do you say?